A message the boys ask me all the time, what's your message called, Dad? What's your message called? And I said, well, it's freedom. Freedom? You always preach on freedom. You have lots of messages on freedom. And I said, well, you're right, because Jesus came to give us that freedom. And so there's a lot to it. But this one for now is titled Freedom From. Okay, and it'll be, like I said, probably the beginning of a series on freedom and the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And so this one will set some foundational stuff, and then next week we'll get in a little bit deeper into kind of more of the exact things or more detailed things that he has set us free from. This is going to be a little bit more generalized, but we need a foundation before we can build upon it. So we'll start with this. So let's start with prayer. Father God, we're grateful to be here again in your presence with your people, Lord, standing and sitting, Father, here in a place that we can call home, a place where we can come together with friends and brothers and sisters in Christ and bring our families, and it's a good, safe environment, a place where we can grow in our faith towards you. And Father, I pray that during this message and during this series, Lord, that you continue to drop in people, new people, to hear it and to glorify your name, Lord, but that you will be exalted above all else through these messages, that you are that once and for all solution that we run to and that we draw from in every area of our life. And Lord, I pray that as we go through freedom and talk about it, Lord, that we will understand, deeply understand what you have done for us, and that we will live and walk in that freedom that you have provided for us. And we give you the praise and you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Amen. So praise God. I'm going to start with some little bits of things that Jesus has told us that kind of lead into freedom. One of the things Jesus told us was that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? We hopefully are getting that understanding of that as life goes on. If you get that part, oh, this bunny trail here, but if you get that out of the message, that the devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give you life, you'll get the gist of the message, okay? The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus tells us. He is always working against you. Okay? He loves to make your life miserable. And at times, will bring things into your life that seem good, at least at the moment. And sometimes they even satisfy. Here's the kicker. Sometimes what the devil brings into your life even satisfies at the moment. Okay? But the end result is that he's going to bring some destruction, some loss, some death into your life in some area. The only time he brings good into your life is when he is pushing you into something, okay, into a temptation or a sin or something that in the end he will be able to bring some destruction. He lures with that short-term pleasure. Okay, but the end brings that destruction and loss in some area of your life, including some loss of joy. Okay, maybe loss of peace inside. You ever step across that line? Miss the mark? Man, it's miserable. It's just you lose that peace inside. Might be after trying to steal your finances, mess up your relationships, other areas the devil is seeking to destroy. But along with that, in that very same verse, Jesus tells us that he came to give us not just life, but an abundant life. Okay, let's read that scripture in John 10:10. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, that word in the Greek for abundantly is the word parousos, and it means excessive, superabundant, and superior. Okay? He has come that they might have excessive, superabundant, and superior life. It refers to the good life. Okay? It refers to what Jesus himself is saying that he came to give you. Okay? That kind of life that God intended for you. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have this kind of life." When the Apostle Paul said that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to his power that worketh in us, this is what he was referring to. That same abundance, okay, that abundant kind of life. Because here's the the two sides of the coin. You have life with Jesus. Excuse me, let's start with the other side. You have life without Jesus, okay, where the small g god of this world brings destruction and mayhem into a person's life. Okay, versus the other side of the coin, which is life with Jesus, which is abundant, almost to an excess or excessive, and far superior. Okay, that is the life that Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you have a far superior experience in life. Okay, we need to know this and get it down inside of us. That if you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're on this side of the abundant life. Okay, if there's two sides of that coin, everybody say this with me. Say, thank you, Jesus. I am so glad to be on the side with you. Okay? We don't want that other side. That's not our experience or shouldn't be our life experience. We are on the side with Jesus. And we have to know that. Okay? Because even on the right side of the coin, the devil is still real. Okay? And he will continually still be working against you. Okay? He will try to make your life miserable by stealing, killing, and destroying things in your life. That's his goal. That's what Jesus said. That's what he's come for. That's exactly what he came for. Think about it. All the way back to Adam and Eve, and the devil came and tempted them. First thing that happened, they lost their comfort level with God. Immediately, they felt that guilt and shame and condemnation and all those things that the devil is famous for. Speaking to Christians, Peter says this in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Okay? The devil, if he is ignored, okay, and if we just remain ignorant to his devices, his schemes, his tactics, then we're basically allowing him to have a portion of control over our life. Okay. We're giving him place. Okay. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Nothing. No area that he can get in and mess with you. When we allow him to have control, when we give him part of our life, when that's the case, he will, in often very subtle ways, begin to steal from you. Okay, he will steal your joy and replace it with symptoms of depression. Okay? Won't really know why things are. Let me just be real for a minute. So often in life, we as believers, as Christians, we're just going through life, not really understanding why things are the way they are. And we struggle, we get down, we wonder why we're dissatisfied, why we're upset about this, what we're grumpy about, why we're feeling down today, and we can't quite put a finger on it. Okay? So often, that is nothing but the enemy who has sowed some seeds into your mind and planted some things there to try to bring you down, to make your life a little bit less joyful than it could have been. Okay? He doesn't like you. Okay? The devil doesn't like you. He's not going to do good in your life unless it is to lead you away from God in some way. Okay? The devil is so often, we don't see what is actually happening. The devil tries to steal things from you, like your finances. Maybe cause things to break or wear out at the most inopportune times. I'm not saying things don't wear out eventually. I've had to put tires on a car before. You know, you drive it 60,000 miles, you probably get to that point. But there are times when it's just one breakdown after another. Things are just going wrong, and you can't quite, don't understand why. You know, I've got this going on, I've got this, you know, fun thing I was going to do, and all of a sudden, bam, there's this happening and that happening. And when there's no explanation for it, so often it's time to get on your knees and pray, okay, and do some rebuking of the devil and what he's trying to do. Okay, I'll get into that more as we go through this series. The devil will get in and try to steal your time by getting you caught up in distractions, getting you caught up in life. I can't whatever, fill in the blank, go to church, can't read my Bible, can't pray, I can't take time for that, I don't have time, I've got to deal with this life experience. Okay, and the devil has thrown something, a little monkey wrench in there to say, look at this, you need to deal with this right now. And the reality is, if you don't deal with it right now, nothing's going to happen. Okay, it can wait. It can wait a few minutes. It can wait a few days, whatever it takes. So often we jump, we want to force things to happen, force the hand to God sort of thing. Okay, but sometimes it's better to wait on God. Okay, and listen, pay attention. Look at what's going on around you, and if you start to see that, you know what, there's no real explanation for why things are happening the way they're happening, yes, there is, okay? But look in the spiritual realm instead of the natural realm. We'll get into that in a minute. I better move on. He will try to destroy things in your life like your love. Okay, that has to do with relationships. Life is about God and people. Okay, and when we forget that, we start thinking it's about other stuff, then we're caught up in distractions. It's about God and people. Okay, we need to keep that in perspective. But that's an area where the devil will try to come in and destroy that love and that affection, that friendship, that camaraderie, that fellowship, the things that have to do with people. If he can get in and mess with that, get you frustrated, get you feeling lonely, get you agitated with people. Okay, when you start feeling those kinds of things, that's a key indicator that the devil is at work in your life. Okay, and I'll give you a good example again, telling on myself last night at supper. Margie says, are you mad at me? And I was like, no. Are you mad at the kids? No. You know? And it's just one of those things that I could not put a finger on. Leon or somebody even said, I don't think he knows what he's mad at right now. Okay, and that's the truth. I did not. I didn't even realize that I was being short with people. I didn't realize that that was even coming through. But it was something that I had been experiencing. I told you, the last couple weeks, lots of spiritual attacks. And so if he can mess with my family and my relationship with my wife, I know that he's after that. So I'm not going to let him. I saw it for what it was. And as soon as supper was over, I helped clean up the dishes and put things away and get ready, and I made up an excuse to go outside. I said, I think I left the garage door open, and I did. I knew I had left it open. And I went outside, and I wasn't three steps out that door before I started confronting the enemy, saying, devil, I see what you're up to, and I'm not putting up with it. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I tell you to go back to wherever you came from, all frustration, anxiousness, or whatever that agitation, trying to stir up things between me and my family. I break your curse, I break your hold, and I walk in the righteousness, the truth, the power, the love of Jesus Christ. And I threw it in his face and said, enough is enough. I don't need that in my life. I don't have to have it. Thank you, Jesus. And I walked away from it. By the time I got back in the house, life was good. Okay? And went back to doing what we do and we're doing last night, and things were much better after that. And the Cowboys won, if you guys are Wyoming Cowboy fans. Okay. That'll put you in a good mood every time. But well, that is, and God especially. But that is just one example when I wasn't real positive what was happening. I didn't really know exactly what it was that had been trying to dig and dig and dig. Just kind of felt that underneath the skin kind of stuff and realized that it's not about the family. It's not about the people. And I'll get into that in a minute. I don't want to jump ahead. The devil's going to try to snuff out things, try to kill things in your life, especially your hope. Okay? Hope is something that we have to have as a believer. It is our strength. We hope in the Lord. Okay? We draw from a hope for the future that things that are today are not always going to be this way. Because if the devil can get you thinking that, you know what? The way it is the way it's always going to be. It's never going to change. You're always going to feel this way. You're always going to be lonely. You're always going to have this. You're always going to have that. Whatever it is, he's just planting a seed in there trying to steal, kill, and destroy your hope. Okay? Because we have to have a hope for the future. Okay? And I know I've told you before, if nothing else, we always have hope of eternal life. That life of glory. Okay? Twinkling of an eye, good stuff coming. Okay, and when we can walk in that remembrance of that, it encourages our entire day. But also, I believe God will give you hope in this life. Okay, He'll give you something here as well to hope for, things that are going to happen, things that are growing. This church is growing. I already know that. It is continually, little by little, and actually that's the way I like it. So little by little, it continues to grow and God is doing a work. Okay, until we begin to fan out and reach more and more people in our community. Okay, I have that hope all the time. I live with that. Okay, and there's other things that have on the inside that you have as a hope, things that are going to change in your workplace, your business, or your relationships, things that are happening wherever you're at. There is always something to hope for. Okay, because the devil wants you to live in despair without motivation. Okay, because what happens if you don't have hope? Your motivation tanks. Okay, talk to a person that just got turned down for a promotion at work. How motivated are they to help the company succeed? They're not. Okay, they're down in the dumps. They're like, what am I even doing here? They don't even see what I've been doing all these years or whatever it is. Okay, the devil wants to take you, put you in despair, take your motivation, and steal your anticipation of the goodness of God. Okay, that God is not going to bless you, that things aren't going to get better. Okay, He wants to make you hopeless. Now, after saying all this, I do want to say I don't want to give the devil too much credit. Okay, I don't want to give him too much glory, because the reality is that he is an itty-bitty devil compared to a great big God. Okay, there's no comparison in the two. So when it comes to what God is able to do compared to what he and his minions are able to do and to try to torment and mess us, it's not even a contest. But I do want to make the point that he is real and that he and his minions are actively working to try to steal from you, even today. My pastor sent me some books, some videos, some tracks, a whole bunch of things. It was just a blessing box. Just out of the blue, he sends me this big old case of stuff. And in there was some DVDs. And one of the DVDs was from a spiritual warfare conference that he had attended. And that DVD, one of them was named the Black Awakening. Okay, and I thought, oh, what is this? You know, it must be whatever, kind of a related to the color of your skin kind of thing is what it ran through my mind. But as I opened it up and I began watching, and I realized it had nothing to do with the color of someone's skin, but it was talking about the blackness or the darkness that is continuing to spread throughout our country in the form of satanic rituals. And this is going to get pretty heavy for a minute. Just hang with me. Literally hundreds of thousands of sacrificial Christian cursing rituals are being done every year in our country. This guy had done the studies on it. You know, like we meet, let's say we meet as a church twice a week. How many is that in a year? 104. Somewhere around 104, hopefully. Okay, got all kinds of answers on that. That's funny. So if we meet twice a week and we end up as one Christian church have 104 meetings in 1 year, the devil and his minions have cultic covens in almost every major city in our country, and they meet just as regularly as we do. Okay? So you start adding all that up. How many of these are meeting? This guy was up in the millions since the late 1990s. He said there's been millions. He had like numbers, 4 million or whatever, that had potentially happened since that time in 1990 until today. Okay? Hundreds of thousands of these Christian cursing rituals being done every year. Demonically inspired, satanically inspired covens that meet regularly in every major city. And I believe there's some in Rollins. There are people that gather together against Christians. Some of the rituals in their covens are very specific. They're aimed at gaining spiritual power from the life of their victims. Now, imagine how darkness works. That if you find the purest, most innocent child, they are going to draw dark power from that. Okay? If it's, you know, I don't know how to say this. I used to be a biker, I'll use me. So if a biker kills another biker, people don't think too much of it. But if a biker kills the single school mom, then it becomes more of an issue. You know what I mean? If darkness attacks the innocent, it seems to have more power, more something to it. Well, in the satanic world, it has a spiritual power that is drawn from the innocence of those victims. Okay, now this guy that was the speaker of this, his name is Russ Disdar. He had worked for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He worked for the FBI. And he was with a special division or a unit. And their process, or how they went about doing what they did, was to seek out victims that had survived from cultic rituals. Okay, and I personally know some. I counseled some and things over the years. So they would seek out people that had survived the rituals or had been a part of a coven, and they would find out through them other members of the covens, and from those members they would find the ritual sites. Okay, where did these things take place? There was a place outside of Laramie, a few miles outside of Laramie, that was known for satanic rituals. They had the concrete slabs and things out there that were said to have been used for that for years. I drove by it one time, didn't actually go to it. This guy, they would find those and they would go to them. Okay, because their goal was to find the remains of human victims, get them identified so that they could give some closure to the family. Okay, people have friends, family that have disappeared. That was their goal, was to help find closure for these families and these people. Okay, and it was real life stuff. They went, he talked about going to some of them, they would find the blood, they would find bones and remains, they would dig them up. Sometimes they did it in secrecy, sometimes they did it under cover of day, so to speak, or they would go at, some would actually join the rituals, get involved in it, kind of undercover kind of stuff, and that's how they would get into the point where they could find these remains and be able to help people through that. His point, and in the video, and my point even this morning, is not to scare Christians. I don't want to scare you or make you feel uneasy about that stuff, but I do want to help you see the reality of the battle that is going on around us. It is a spiritual battle. Okay. In that case, now let's say, you know, there's a 1,000 meetings that take place in Wyoming. Okay, and let's say that out of those, maybe a handful actually get to the point of human sacrificial stuff. Okay, there was a guy in Laramie that was known for that. He named his kids Satanica. I mean, the guy was out there, and that was his goal. And these guys used to walk the streets. Okay, the reason I'm saying this, if they have 1,000 meetings in Wyoming, and let's say there's a handful of physical human victims, and Jeff or law enforcement might even know better than I would on what it would actually be. The people that were affected can be in the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. We only have, 500,000 in Wyoming. Okay, because they're praying against and doing rituals to draw a spiritual power that gives them a power over Christ and Christianity, or try to at least. Okay, so many of the rituals, the things that were done specifically against the Christian churches. Okay, that means that you and I, okay, here's where this is going, you and I are the targets of satanic curses, and we need to be aware of that. You wonder why bad things happen, why all of a sudden things are going downhill and you can't quite figure it out. Okay, a lot of people look at themselves, what did I do? What am I doing different? What did I do wrong? Why is God punishing me? Whatever, whatever. The reality is, there's a force of darkness being unleashed against you that you need to be aware of. Hey, told you it would get kind of heavy. The Bible tells us as Christians to know what we're up against. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because you need his might, to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the tactics of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, our human natural minds often want to put the battle that we go through, the struggles, into a natural carnal arena. Okay, we want to think of, what did I do? How can I fix this? What could I do different that would change it? But Paul, in this scripture, made it very clear that our warfare is not against people. It's against spiritual powers that operate behind the scenes, influencing people. So often we want to blame our boss. You know, the boss is a jerk. That's why my life sucks at work. Putting it bluntly. Okay, or we want to blame our car. My car is just a piece of junk. That's why I'm having trouble. Put it into a natural carnal arena that's the cause of my problems. And we're missing that spiritual component of things that are going on behind the scenes. What happens is that people have a bad week, maybe a bad day, and they try to figure out what is happening. Seems like nothing's going right. They rationalize it. They try to make it out to be physical things. Like I said, about the boss or the car or the whatever it is, and they put it into that circumstance. It's because I live in Rollins. Okay. When we do that, then we often resort to carnal methods to try to resolve the issues. So if we think that somebody is snapping at us, we figure if we say something back, kind of snap back, say something mean back, then it will somehow put them in their place and will stop that offending behavior. You ever been there? Okay. Somebody says something, you say something back, you're going to put them in their place. Boy, they won't be able to respond when you unleash this knowledge of them that you have, and you're going to put them in their place. But being angry and getting angry, as mad as the other person, it doesn't resolve the issue. Okay, that's not how you put someone in their place. James said that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, in order for us to get a point across, getting mad and violent or out, you know, upset about it is not how it's going to happen. Getting mad right back is actually what the devil wants you to do, not God. Right? That's not God's way. Anger against other people just makes us play right into the hands of the devil. Because Jesus taught us that the way that you overcome the spiritual powers that come against us through other people is to turn the other cheek. We're taught that love conquers all. We're taught that it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Okay, repentance, adjust your course. Okay, you want somebody to change their behavior and quit being upset? Don't go right at them with that same upsetness. Go at them with some goodness of God. You want somebody to change their behavior. Getting mad at them, screaming, yelling, doing the same thing is not what's going to get it done. Love and kindness make the demons flee. You know, our natural tendency, our natural response when things happen, like in our finances, if we feel like we're poor or we have a financial need, is often to obsess about money or getting more money. Okay, that's a natural carnal response to not having enough, is how can I get more? Okay? Some people actually hoard what they have. They're not going to give it away. Or they take it the next step, and some people steal. Okay, kind of cross a line to try to get more. But the battle that we're engaged in, even when it comes to our finances, is not a physical battle. It's spiritual. Jesus taught us to give and it shall be given unto you. Okay? Through giving, even when we're in need, through giving, we frustrate all of Satan's plans and we loose the power of God into our circumstance. Okay? Through giving. We can't fight the spiritual battle that we're in with carnal weapons. We must realize who the real enemy is, and we fight with the spiritual weapons that the Lord has given us. James told us again that those who resist the devil will see him flee. Right? 2 Corinthians 10:3, Paul said it like this. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, We do not war after the flesh. How many different ways does he have to tell us this before we get it? Though we walk in the flesh, God bless you, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, the things that have latched on and trying to hold you in place, they come down by the power of God. Now you might wonder why a message on freedom has turned into a little lesson on demonology and talking about cults and some of this stuff. The reality is that if you don't know what you're up against, you will struggle and maybe never get that freedom that is possible for you. Some people live with addictions their entire life. Some people live with certain emotional things their entire life because they always see it as something in a carnal, natural sense. It was something that happened to me that makes it so I'm this way and it's going to be that way forever. Or they think that it's something they did wrong and now they need to feel guilty for it the rest of their life. There's things that happen in people's lives that they internalize it, and instead of seeing it as a spiritual thing that is happening, they try to focus on what natural thing they could do or change that might change it, and they'll struggle with it for a lifetime. Those kinds of days or weeks or even a life of having one thing after another go wrong, things that turn out worse than they should have, worse than they could have at least, many of them can be stopped in an instant when you understand the true nature of the battle. I could have been frustrated all the way up until bedtime last night, but I wasn't. Okay, because I dealt with it. I put the devil in his place. The Bible tells us not to give him any place in our life. So if I see, I have no other explanation for this. Nobody did anything wrong to me. I had no reason to be upset with my family in any way, shape, or form. I knew it had to have been an attack. And so I went out and I dealt with it. I came in, Margie said, "What's going on?" I said, "I'm under a spiritual attack. Appreciate your prayers." Because that's what it was. Okay? And it got better. You don't have to put up with that stuff. When you quit wrestling with flesh and blood and you start engaging in the spiritual warfare, you can often dramatically see changes happen very quickly. Ephesians 6:12, we read, tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. This and other places in the Bible, it appears that there's at least four ranks to satanic hierarchy. And this one, the first one that is named is what? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Okay, principalities are in what seems to be kind of what I would call the big dogs. Okay, they're the rulers of the hierarchy in satanic kingdom. Okay, the Greek word that's used for that, principalities, in this verse indicates that it's referring to not just fallen angels, but fallen archangels. Okay, you guys know how Michael is an archangel of the Lord, carries some pretty good weight. Okay, these guys would be the archangels of the dark side. That's principalities. Okay, they are the chief rulers in the demonic spiritual realm, and many times they seem to have a ministry over the affairs of an entire nation. Okay, they have that sort of a position in the kingdom. On the other end of that, and at the end of that little list, there is spiritual wickedness in high places. These are often referred to as the wicked spirits in the earth's atmosphere, and that's what we battle against most. Okay? We don't often engage one-on-one with principalities, but these spiritual wickedness in high places, these wicked spirits in our atmosphere, we engage with on a regular basis. The purpose of these spirits is to simply work against and destroy all that is of Jesus Christ. Okay, so if we have believed on him, given our life to him, committed, done what we did, okay, the devil is against us. They do these things by trying to hinder God's work. The Apostle Paul and others talked about things that they wanted to do, like going to a certain city or going to see a certain person, and then Paul would say, "But Satan hindered us." Okay, and so his demonic realm, that these forces are involved in that. Okay, spiritual wickedness works hard at coming against us by blinding the minds of people. Okay, to keep them from being able to see the truth. And I've seen it, unfortunately, even happen to Christians where they get blinded in certain areas. They just never seem to see it, but it can be opened up. The Apostle Paul was completely walking on the dark side by killing Christians, persecuting, doing all that. And the Bible says it was like as if blinders were removed, scales were removed from his eyes. Okay, it can happen that people can see. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that whom the God, the little g God of this world, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Trying to keep people from coming to Jesus. Spiritual darkness works at beguiling and misleading and deceiving people. You know, they started out by deceiving Adam and Eve, and they haven't gone away. Right? Anybody remember the story of the demon-possessed man in the Gadarenes? Jesus cast him out, and he says, hey, don't send us into the abyss, or, you know, send us into those swine. Remember what happens? Swine run down the hill right into the water, and it kills them all. Why? Because then those spirits were released again. Demons don't die. Okay, the same spiritual forces that were at work that we read about in the Bible are still at work today. The spiritual wickedness in high places is something that works continually to tempt God's people, to buffet them. Remember the Apostle Paul said, Satan has sent a messenger, or give me a messenger in my flesh. How did he say it? It a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. Okay, that word buffet means to wrap up like a clenched fist, to be buffeted by Satan, to be held. It's exactly what some Christians feel like today, like they're being buffeted, being clenched, being held. Paul said that he sought the Lord three times that it would depart from him. But Jesus got the message through to him by saying, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, Jesus told Paul, when you quit trying to fight it with natural means and realize that it's a spiritual battle, then you will see the victory and the freedom from it. The spiritual wickedness seeks to infiltrate the church of Jesus Christ into us. That same speaker I was telling you about, he talked about church services where he would expose a little bit like what I'm doing, only he would go a lot deeper into the covens and say, this is how they do their rituals and these things. He knew all about it. He said, at times there were people that would rise up, the demons would rise up. They had been people that had come to his church off and on, or different times they were trying to infiltrate, and they would rise up and begin screaming, shut up, stop, stop, quit telling, because their secrets were being exposed. He had people in his church that would go and pray and sit by people that were being stirred, just in knowing what was going on. I gotta wrap this up, but let me tell you a couple, one more thing here about a story that Margie and I were reading an article. I'm in a pastor's group, and one of the pastors had written an article, and it was called something to the effect of 5 reasons your church members are not inviting their friends to your church. Okay, it's pastor to pastor. Margie's shaking her head. I shouldn't probably tell this story, but I should. 5 reasons that your church members are not inviting their friends to church. And one of them was that the devil had infiltrated your ministry with kookiness. Okay? And I think that was his word, kookiness. Okay? What happens is that not all things that happen in church services are of God. Okay? Sometimes it's from the flesh. Okay? The things that appeal to the flesh sometimes are not the same as what would appeal to God. Okay? And so he tells the story of a Sunday that they had actually asked a guy to come and to evaluate their worship service and to sit in it, just to partake of it, take his notes, whatever, and then give them feedback. It happens. Pastors do it a lot, have somebody come and sit in a service. And so he was doing that, and he said it just happened to be that during that service was the time that one of his members felt exceptionally, and he called it happy, and jumped up during worship and jumped up and down and ran around the sanctuary screaming and yelling and carrying on. Okay. The guy that was taking the evaluation, of course, put that in the evaluation. And he said, you would have had new people come back the next week if it had not been for that outburst of the flesh in your service. Because when God moves, everybody knows it. When the flesh moves, oftentimes it's just a handful that will be affected by it or impressed by it. Okay? And I'm not saying, don't take me wrong, I love when God manifests in our services, and he does. When he does, and I believe that you'll know it. Okay? And I'm just, I want to tell stories, but I don't want to go too far into it. Just know that there's something that we want to avoid, if at all possible, to let the devil get in and stir people's flesh. Okay? Because it happens. Okay? And I'm not going to get into details, but things have happened even recently that we have people that aren't here this morning because of allowing the devil to get into their flesh and deal and minister unto them, and they ran with it. I confronted, did what I do, but it didn't make any difference. It is thought, let me end with this, it is thought by many that the higher echelons of the spiritual authority, the principalities, the big dogs, that it takes some greater power, or you have to be really prayed up in order to rebuke or remove, but that's simply not true. There is no demonic power, including the devil, Satan himself, that will not flee at the name of Jesus when it is applied with faith. When you have faith in the name of Jesus, it will make him flee. Your shield of faith above all else quenches every fiery attack of the enemy. Okay? And it's then with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that we put the devil in his place through prayer. Okay? God has given us that. Let me just do this. Spiritual forces. Well, let me read that to you. We got time. You guys don't mind a scripture, do you? Ephesians 6:12 says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, then, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to still be standing. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking your shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Spiritual forces cannot be fought in physical ways. Let your mind go off of that track and allow it to be spiritually inclined. Faith-filled prayer and intercession is what will prevail against any and every demonic power. You have to understand that the battle going on, and knowing that it's not natural flesh and blood, it is spiritual, is going to be your key to freedom in this life. Freedom from bondage, freedom from sin, freedom from legalism. Okay? Has to be a spiritual click that has to happen there. Freedom from poverty, freedom from stress and anxiety and depression and addiction. Ultimate freedom from the powers of darkness are all yours through the name of Jesus. We have been given free access to the abundant life that Christ came to give us. Hallelujah. I look at my wife, she's got a smirk on her face. I know that it's not a jump up and down, shout hallelujah message. And frankly, I don't care. I want to tell you what you need to know. Because some of you guys are struggling with things that you've been struggling with for decades that need to be stopped. And if you continue to go on and allow it, just, you know what, I can't figure out what it is, why is this happening, I'm telling you point blank, it's a demonic force come against you, and until you address it spiritually, it is going to continue on. Take the time Take the time to get on your knees or get in your prayer time and just spend that time with God. Share your burden with Him. Cast it upon Him. Don't take it back. And when you get to that point, God will prompt you to put the devil in his place too. Because he listens to what comes out of your mouth. And if you're saying, I just don't know, the devil just has his way with me and I just can never get over this. And you know what? That's what's going to happen. Because you're giving all that place to him saying, yep, he's got this control over me and I can't do anything about it. I'm telling you, that is not true. The Bible is true, and the Bible says that we have been given authority over everything that the devil has. Okay, we can put him in his place. We can stand and say, you know what? No more. Okay, Jesus came to give us authority, and he gave us that authority. It's a done deal. You already have it. You have what you need to walk in victory, and you need to walk it out. That's the abundant life. Okay, supernaturally, abundantly above all that we could ask or think, that thing of living a far superior life. Why live in the drudges if you don't have to? I'll tell you, I know this is going on. I got one more thing. Sometimes as you go through life, imagine, sometimes things happen. Okay, I'm not saying they don't. We had with the boys last winter, some of you guys remember they were in that sledding accident. That rocked our world big time. I mean, I spent time on my, I keep calling it on my knees, but you know what I mean. Just in prayer, constantly seeking the Lord, talking to him, rebuking the devil, praying healing and thanking God for healing for these guys every night and just dealing with that for weeks and weeks. It took a couple of months for all that to finally begin to slow down again. That was a pretty catastrophic moment in our life. Okay, there's been other times. When me and the boys went out one time and my blazer started on fire, the engine fired, all that, we put it out with coffee and Gatorade. It was a dramatic moment in our life. Those events that stand out to me are once per year, at most. And I say at most. When those events are happening time after time after time, and it rocks your world this week and the next week, oh my God, this is rocking my world, and the next week it's another thing, and the next week it's another thing, you've got to break some curses. You've got to get free from that. You don't. That is not God's plan for you. God wants you to live outside of that. The far abundant, supernaturally abundant, superior life is available. Okay. Occasionally the devil gets through a hole in the hedges, okay, and throws something in there, but it shouldn't be all the time. Okay, because I promise you that God has a better life than that. God will get you there. Just keep giving it and don't take it back. Amen. Somebody needed to hear that. Father God, we're praising you this morning. I thank you that your word is life. It is true. It is health and healing to us, Lord. Your word is the sword that we put the devil in his place with, Lord. Thank you for ministering health and healing in our bodies. Thank you for touching our hearts and stirring up that faith in the name of Jesus, that we trust and know that you have come to give us an abundant life. The devil is against us, but you are bigger, you are stronger, you are more powerful, and that we trust in you to help put him right where he needs to be under our feet. Father, we're praising you this morning. We thank you for victory. We thank you for freedom, that we can walk free from things that have held us back, that we don't have to be under that buffeting or that clenched fist, that, Lord, we are set free, and that we walk in the abundant life that you have come to give us. Lord, we speak life, we speak hope, we speak health, healing, prosperity. We speak it into and above and over and through our life that you may have and bring to pass all these things that you want to bring into our life, Lord. We love you and we praise you for all this goodness. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.